38 seconds after the hour of 11, and it's the month of March in the year of our Lord, 2007. Thank you for coming along, making it part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed, yet not overly ostentatious, studios of AM 970. Pardon me, a little gas there. AM 970, Solid State Radio. Thank you for coming by, making it part of your listening day. It is Monday, and welcome to Day 12. Why, hello. How are you? Thank you. Greetings and salutations. All right, it's 503-7... That was a complete and total abortion right there. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. You know, we've only been here for... Have we been here for a year? Has it been a year? What's today?
It's going to be a year in like a week.
It'll be a year the day... Let's see, a week from tomorrow. Next Tuesday will be a year. Good God. It seems like a tedious eternity, doesn't it? I'm not complaining. I'm just saying... Just saying how this life does drag on. Well, in any event, so a week from tomorrow, I guess, is our one. Please don't send. Don't send anything. Don't call. Don't write. Don't give us anything. I'm just saying next Tuesday is going to be our 1 year. The only point I was going to make is it's been a year, and I still can't remember the phone number. Somebody, I had a little post-it note here with the phone number. Now it's gone.
My post-it note with the warm line is gone, too. Now I have no idea.
Now no one can call us.
Yep.
Well, we're isolated in a small, little, hermetically sealed chamber today. No one can speak to us. We can't be spoken to. Wait, I got to write it. It's 503. Hold on. 503-733-2970. There you go. You got a thing up there to your right, though, that has the warm line on it. It's right there. Call-in line.
I never even noticed that.
You got guest line.
There you go. All right, and that's the best way to start a program right there, forgetting your own goddamn phone number. It's 503-733-2970 today if you'd like to be part of our radio program. And why wouldn't you, kids? Why wouldn't you indeed? It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Your comments, your clarifications, your conventions, your corrections, your what have you. 503-733-2970 is the telephone number. In a super telepsychotronic sort of way, as Commander USA used to say. Or rick@rickemerson.com with your email. I hope everybody had a fantastic weekend. Here's what's coming up today. I don't have the CNN. Do you have the CNN sheet? We have CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard. I couldn't remember if it was Lisa Goddard or if it was Bob Constantino today. CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard is going to join us today. We're going to talk about that insanity unfolding at the Walter Reed Hospital. And then also I'm going to bring up that here's my gambit to impress Lisa Goddard for today. Because in no way am I trying to steal her affections away from her fiancé. Jason Sporbert. Do we know if there's a picture of Jason Sporbert anywhere?
No, I've looked. I can't find him anywhere.
You have?
Mm-hmm.
See, if I was going to do that, it'd be creepy. If I was to tell you that I had Googled her fiancé to try to find a picture of him, you would give me that creepy thing, and then you would just sort of avert your eyes for the rest of the day. You weren't able to find anything?
Mm-mm.
Do we know what he does? Okay, no, I'm stop. That sounded creepy. I'm backing up now. Do we know if he's home alone? Do we know if he has any allergies? All right, well, in any event. So, anyways, my latest gambit to impress Lisa Goddard, I'm going to point out that today is the 54th anniversary of the death of Joseph Stalin. Today. 54th anniversary, 1953, March 5th.
Oh, wow.
Joseph Stalin. And I know that she's a Soviet buff. So I'm going to venture that today. CNN radio correspondent James Roof is going to be... He may or may not have Brittany news for us. He's going to talk about Rudy Giuliani, who is 22 points up on McCain, by the way. I don't know if you saw that today. Rudy Giuliani is 22 points ahead of John McCain, which is a thing that Tim cares about, that I care about, and that a few scattered minions out there care about. Doesn't matter. We're going to talk about it anyway, because I find it fascinating.
And that being said, he still will not be elected.
No, he still can't win. It's going to be... He's going to lead the whole way, and then in the end, he will lose. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a whole, the Giants win the pennant, the Giants win the pennant, the Giants win the pennant kind of thing. Because at the end, he's going to be beaten like the family mule. So, he's going to be beaten like he owes somebody money. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about Giuliani. We'll talk about Schwarzenegger. We'll talk about Brittany, because I swear to God, I'm not going to ruin the story in case you haven't seen it, in case you haven't heard about it. All I have to say is this. Now, there may be some of you out there saying, Rick, this Britney thing had some entertainment value to it, but we really feel like it's spent. We feel like it's used up. We feel like the Britney story has been burnt out. We feel like all that can be said about Britney that has been said. We feel like it's all been done. My friends, if you think that Britney Spears, you only think that because you haven't read today's news. I don't... There are quite literally no words to describe how great this latest Britney Spears... I mean, it's like we're now... Like we're just getting news from the moon or something. It's not even... Let me just say this about Britney, and then I'm going to move on, because we will get to the Britney watch later, which is fantastic. I don't care what you have to do. I don't care if you have to skip school. I don't care if you have to cut work. I don't care if you have to call in sick. I don't care if you have to pretend that you got a flat tire in the I-5 and you're just going to sit on the shoulder of the road idling while you wait for us to get to the Britney news. It's that good. It's that fantastic. I don't care if you have never cared about a Britney Spears story before in your life. I don't care if Britney shaving her head was of no interest to you at all. Sarah knows what I'm talking about.
I read it. And
you
then
can't
I
even wrap your brain around.
Exactly. It didn't even sink in because it just seems too ridiculous.
It's just so unbelievably and indescribably beyond all imagination. And I know that this is the king of the guarantees, but I'm telling you, so often those guarantees don't pay off. Is there somebody willing to advertise something coming up after the break? We'll tell you the exciting story of, and then it's not very exciting. This is worth every bit of hyperbole that I'm using right now. So we'll have that. We'll have the Britney Spears goes even crazier. We'll get that. I read that for the first time last night. I sat down at the computer, and this, and like 100 people had sent me the Britney story. All of them containing subject lines like, please, 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 let it be true. Oh, sweet dear God, Jesus, please let this be true.
And do we know if it's true?
I've read it on at least 3 different sites today that are not gossip sites. I mean, it's not like in the New York Times. But those stories don't just come out of nowhere. Stories don't just, they don't just create themselves out of whole cloth.
I mean, it's just, it's too good.
Would you doubt it?
No.
I realize that we haven't revealed what it is. I'm just saying.
So are you talking about the...
Oh, yeah.
And no.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
And the best thing is how you were able to convey that with hand gestures. Yes, that's exactly what I'm talking about, Sarah. So I don't care if you've never cared about a Britney story in your life. You'll care about this one. So we'll get to that later on. What else? Peter Carlin, TV critic for the Oregonian, is going to be joining us today. We have a fantastic corpse watch we're going to get to. Ann Coulter begs for a long, savage beatdown. Hillary Clinton panders like a shameless hussy. And what else? Clyde Lewis will be here. News at Ground Zero. And in the noon hour, we'll talk to Clyde about that. What else? Well, some other stuff. I have some other things sort of written. I got this big news that hurts pile. I got to try to get that taken care of. There's a lot of these stories really. The news that hurts pile. They are sort of timeless, but they've been sitting there for a while. So I'm going to try to get to that. I'm just going to say this one final thing by way of teasing the Britney Spears story before I move on. You know, we have all of this champagne in the refrigerator here, and all of this. Is that the champagne that the Marconi show gave us? No, and somebody else gave it. Oh, Oakley. Our friend Oakley gave us that champagne. Okay, it's just sitting there. You know, we have all of the champagne and all of these bottles of Moxie. Mm. And we have no Viso. I got to contact the Viso.
Somebody's going to invite us to christen a battleship.
Seriously. Well, and I'm just going to say this one final thing about the Britney story. So I was at Safeway last night. By the way, I can tell you that Tommy's place, which is down the street from Safeway, where a man was shot in the groin the other night, that strip club where a guy was shot in the package, back up, roaring business once again. Open for the... They were only closed for like an hour, and they were bringing patrons back in.
I don't mean to be morbid, but did you hear about that guy on Belmont yesterday?
Yeah. Okay, there was a shooting at the Belmont
Market. I was riding my bike right by there. Like, my friend and I literally rode by there right when it happened, and we were actually going to go to the store and ended up going to one on 39th and Hawthorne instead. But yeah, that entire block, the entire area... area is completely covered in cops.
People are always wandering around there high as a kite.
It's amazing.
That area.
It's amazing how we, within the space of like 3 seconds, we can make any story about one of us. Rick, did you about the killing at the Belmont Market? I was in that general vicinity yesterday.
I just purchased I think I bought a Sparks there the other day.
I got some emails about that, actually. Not that it was, this email says, Rick, I'm sure you've heard of the attempted robbery and shooting at the Belmont Market. Well, the shooting wasn't attempted. The shooting was... They attempted the robbery. They carried out the shooting. I ask you to employ your listeners to go there to buy Viso. Today might not be the best day to do that. They have about 6 flavors and probably need as much business as possible to help pay for doctor bills. I can't drink the caffeinated stuff. Last time I had a vigor, I could feel my heart beating in my ears. I do like the cane sugar sweetened ones, though. Thank you in advance. Well, we'll talk more about that in a second. Because this is actually the first I heard about it was these emails this morning. Okay, so we'll talk about, because we are local and relatable, we'll talk about the shooting on Belmont yesterday. So Tommy's, there was a shooting there, and that place is open. Anyway, so I'm at Safeway last night. This is my final Brittany observation before we plunge on ahead. It was that same thing that happened a couple weeks ago where it all just sort of fell into perspective for me. We're standing there in line with my whatever and my what have you, my sundries. I don't know what a sundry is. I don't know if a sundry means a food item or if it means a non-food item. That does lead me to this thought, though. You know a word that people don't use enough is foodstuffs. I need to buy some comestibles and other foodstuffs.
And people aren't sending enough telegrams.
People aren't wearing enough spats. Anyway, so I'm there at Safeway, and I'm looking at the cover of the Inquirer. And the Inquirer, by the way, which has revealed that Anna Nicole Smith did not die of a drug overdose, but apparently of pneumonia. They were the first ones to break that. So I'm looking at this, and they got the picture of Brittany in her big bald head and a sweatshirt whacking at that SUV with an umbrella. And it all just came back to me again that she's goddamned insane. Britney Spears has gone crazy. And I really do believe your thing, Sarah, that if she does try to seriously off herself, like if she really tries to just dope herself into oblivion, it's going to be as soon as she sees that photograph. It's like when somebody shows you a picture of you whizzing into a suitcase at a guy's party last night. Remember when you whizzed in the suitcase? No. What? Oh, God. You know, and then you just reach for the gun. It's got to be that. As soon as she says, you remember when you shaved off all your head and you looked like a skank and you were whacking on that SUV with an umbrella and you're a whore?
Oh,
and you,
man.
No, I don't remember that.
I still can't even wrap my mind about how... it's so bizarre. It's still so weird. It's been 3 weeks since the head shaving.
It gets even better. It's going to get better later on today. So there you go. So we've got all of that. 503-733-2897 to join today's Are We Always by the lovely and talented, and I suspect hungover Sarah Dillon. How are you doing today?
Actually, I'm not. I went to bed too early.
Are you sure?
Oh, I'm not saying I didn't do the drinking last night, but I was in bed by midnight.
I'm just saying, today's one of those days when I came in and you were just being very silent.
Well, no, because sometimes I need some time and I've been accosted all morning, and then when you walk in and you're whistling, sometimes it makes me want to shoot myself in the head.
Really?
Really.
Do I whistle?
You whistle constantly, and I'm sitting here just trying to do my stuff, just taking a few quiet moments.
My whistling makes you want to shoot yourself in the head? Is that only on certain mornings?
No. I love
it. Is it always?
All the time.
Why have you never mentioned this? Why
because
is this
I don't want to hurt your feelings, because then you're going to pull me aside and be like, Sarah, is this something you want to talk about?
For how long have I been doing it?
Forever.
Really?
Yeah.
So the entire time we've been working together, I come in and I whistle and it makes you and you hate it.
Yeah, and that's why when you consider me to be standoffish, it's the whistling.
Am I whistling anything in particular?
No, not really.
Is it just sort of a tune?
It's just random tunes. Yes, you do that. And you'll shuffle your papers and sit there and whistle away.
All right. I'm glad you told me. I'll try not to do that anymore. Now, I was going to put it on you that I came in today. Sometimes I come in, and here's the thing. Sometimes I come in and you say hello to me. Other times I come in and you say nothing, and I have to wait and say hello to you because you're just sitting there sulking in a pit of gloom in the corner.
No, but unfortunately, until you walked in and you hadn't said anything.
You were in a great mood until I walked in.
Well, you walked in and you're already whistling.
And there was just nothing you could say about it?
No, it's not that big of a deal at all.
Okay.
No, I did. No, I imbibed in some cocktails last night. I went to see the band The Mountain Goats.
Right.
Who were very good. And I was wearing high heels for the first time ever, and I was a little wobbly.
Why do you even... I didn't even know you owned high heels.
I did. I bought these bright yellow, really cool high heels, because I'm not really used to walking in them.
Especially when drunk.
Oh, man.
Tell me that there's video. Tell me that there's footage of you trying to walk in high heels.
And I went with my friend Kyle, and he was really drunk and yelling at... I don't know.
Your gentleman friend in the company?
No, the gentleman friend was, working.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So there you go. Well, fantastic. Okay, I'm now all self-conscious. Well, I'm going to try not to...
No, listen. I'm sorry,
no,
and
fine.
I know...
No, I don't want to do anything that irritates you.
No, you don't irritate
me. Let's not be taking back our word. Let's not try to unring the bell at this point. All I'm saying is that you got to keep an eye on those things, because that's one of those things that happens, like, in relationships that have existed for a period of time, where things that you once found cute or charming or at least innocuous and didn't notice eventually become the most irritating things on planet Earth. You know what I mean? It's like, have you ever done that where you date somebody and they do, like, whatever, like, they scrape their toast... And I'm just picking that randomly.
Not that you know anybody who does that.
No, I really don't. But that is exactly the kind of thing, though, that I'm talking about, where somebody will, you know, scraping their toast in the sink. And initially you find it kind of cute. Oh, isn't that cute? He scrapes his toast, you know, whatever. And then as time goes on, you know, whatever the habit is, pretty soon the toe scraping is no longer innocuous. You notice it, and you kind of think it's strange. Then it goes from strange to irritating. Then it goes from irritating to maddening. Then it goes to and then you get to the point where it's like, if that guy scrapes his toes one more time, I'm going to cut his head off and kick it down a hill. And I mean, it doesn't matter whether it's somebody you're dating, somebody that's a roommate, small thing, but it's the worst when it's somebody you're dating because it's something that you initially found kind of cute. It's something. I'm just going to say this. This is years ago now. I used to date a girl who, and this is not all the time, because I know what you'll think of me if I say it's all the time. If I say it was all the time, you will give me that look like you will lose respect for me for even having dated her in the first place. So I will say that very, very rarely did she do this. But every now and again, I mean very, very rarely. I don't even want to say it.
What did she do?
I don't even want to say it because now I'm concerned about what you'll think of me. It very, very occasionally, sometimes.
Okay, we get it very rarely.
Fewer than five times a year, I would say. She would just sort of, for very brief periods of time, she would kind of talk at baby talk. I know. It wasn't all the time. It wasn't all the time. And it wasn't for, like, paragraphs. It was just, like, a sentence or two every now and again. She would just get in these moods where she would sort of do this baby talk thing. And that's the sort of thing that, like, you either don't notice or you just sort of find it cute in a weird way because you're in that first, like, whatever, 6 months of the relationship and you're willing to overlook anything. Or anything they do is cute because it's the first 6 months you've been together. And anything they do is a quirky, cute character trait. But then, like, after, like, a year, it's like every time she talked like a baby, I just wanted to set her on fire. You know what I mean?
How could you date a baby talker?
She didn't do it all the time. She didn't do it all the time like somebody else that we know. Like someone that Sarah and I do know who does talk like a baby quite a lot of the time. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Never mind.
I would think you have my friend who does a baby talk, and she knows who she is.
Let's kill all of them. Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification today.
Well, Hillary Clinton tries her hand in a southern accent. Get ready for a real-life Y2K as we move the clocks ahead an hour, plunging the nation into darkness and computers to crash.
Fantastic.
Brittany tries to... Well, we won't elaborate, but it involves a failure in a bedsheet. And oh, if it can only have been Ann Coulter.
Way to be inscrutable. Oh, Ann Coulter. Boy, I mean, again, the Rick Emerson Show, we should say here right at the beginning that we do not advocate, endorse, promote, condone, or encourage violence
as a means to...
Let's turn her over to the Taliban right away. As a means... That's the irony, of course, is for such a conservative woman, you know, the Taliban, you know, and any number of religious sects that are just as conservative, man, they would just have her head on a stick by the end of the day.
That's what I was thinking.
What she gets for wearing pants. That's exactly what it would be. You do not look me in the eye! Oh, I put head on stick now! She would be dead. They would have her fed to pigs by the end of the afternoon. I'm just saying this. I am not advocating violence in any way. That would be wrong. It's not the moral or legal way to solve your difficulties. I'm just saying this. I really am amazed that somebody hadn't taken a shot at her.
That's all I'm saying.
I'm not saying that somebody should. I really am not saying that. That would be wrong. If anybody were to construe from these statements that the Rick Emerson Show advocated someone doing that to Ann Coulter, you would be incorrect because we do not advocate that in any way. I'm simply saying, as a journalistic observer, as a man holding a mirror up to society and then reporting on what it is that I see, as is the artist's duty, I'm really amazed that somebody hasn't just tried to machine gun her into little pieces. That's all I'm saying.
No, I'm not saying we're trying to give people ideas.
No, we're not trying to give people... People don't need me to give them that idea. Her opening her mouth and bumping her gums for more than 5 seconds will give people the idea. If anybody's going to give people the idea to kill Ann Coulter, it's going to be Ann Coulter by speaking. By speaking and continuing to exist. Continuing to draw air that the rest of us could use. That's all I'm saying. Not unlike other people who we find incredibly irritating, let's say Dustin Diamond or Fred Phelps, I'm just amazed that some nutcase hasn't gotten into their head to just sort of, you know, speed up the natural process of things a little bit. That's all I'm saying. It's the only point I'm making. All right, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Now, Sarah and I used to work, we used to know somebody who spoke in baby talk quite a lot. Well, you don't know. I'll tell you later. I don't want to.
You were baby talking to me, and I didn't even notice.
Well, I don't. I don't want to elaborate. I don't want everybody to feel like awkward. I'll just be very. I'll tell you later. It's
okay.
Somebody. Anyway, I had some point I was going to make, but I don't know what it is. Oh yeah, and apparently, so daylight. I came in here today, and I turned on my computer. Nothing worked. I don't understand. I really don't. I don't understand. It's just goddamn, it happens every year. It's happening on a different day today. So what? I don't understand why the daylight savings thing is such a... Is this happening to everybody else?
There's another changing. There's another daylight savings
thing
now, right?
I don't know. I don't know why. When did this happen? Who voted that we were going to move daylight savings time? I wasn't consulted about this.
I don't know. It happened probably during the Terry Schiavo thing. It's a little break.
But so there isn't an additional one?
They're changing it four times.
They moved it. But what happens is Bill Gates had already pre-tuned all these computers to change it on the old day.
But it doesn't,
So who changes daylight savings time? Who did this?
I don't know.
Congress.
Was it Congress?
I would imagine so, yeah.
You know, this is, if you lived in Arizona, is it Arizona where they don't do this? That'd be a lot handier. Arizona, but I don't think Long Island follows it either.
Okay, I know we all sound like a bunch of morons.
You sound retarded.
Okay, so everyone in the world does the daylight savings thing, right?
No, it's just us.
Just us.
Really?
Except for Indiana and Arizona, I think. I think it's just certain cities in Indiana that don't do it. I swear to God, I think that's true.
Parts of Indiana are in a different time zone.
Did you know that Baja California is in Mexico?
Baja California?
Yes. It's in Mexico.
Yes. That is correct.
Okay. Anyway, that's what I'm saying. So there's certain... That's what Scotty's pointing out, that Indiana's split in half. Half of Indiana... Daylight savings time is just stupid. We're no longer an agricultural society. We are no longer having to go home and husk corn or shuck things or whatever it is the daylight savings
time
is.
But you don't see white people working in fields.
No, Tim, you don't. No, Tim, you don't. And God bless it. I don't understand. I don't understand what it's for. I don't understand. I mean, I understand what it was for when you had to go home and, I don't know, you had to go home and run a threshing machine or something. It doesn't make any sense if you had to go home and put hops into buckets in Malala. I don't really understand the point of it now.
So this was established by the Federal Energy Policy Act of 2001, which was passed to get Americans to cut energy consumption.
And isn't it just, I don't understand the point of daylight savings time, though, and I'm not trying to be overly obtuse. Doesn't it just, isn't it a walk?
Give you more time to work in the fields.
But it just gets... We're springing ahead. So doesn't it just get... Wait, so is it darker later at night now? No.
Yes.
That doesn't make... Hold on, stop.
As the year goes on,
the length of the days expands. The length of the day doesn't expand. The day is always 24 hours.
The length of daylight, I should say.
But that's not true. There's always
yes,
the same...
true.
Broad Bishop.
Unless they give you a lot, then they take it all away.
That's the story of my life. I'm not trying to do like another ketchup versus ketchup thing. I don't really understand this, though. If I get up at 7 a.m. and I go to bed at, 11 p.m., I've still got the same amount of daylight hours. It's just they've moved one of the daylight hours from morning, essentially, and put it at night. Right?
Correct.
So is it that it stays light longer in the evening?
That is correct.
Well, what is the point of that? Like, why the benefit?
So you can harvest your crops.
But no one does that. And why can't you harvest your crops in the morning? Get out of goddamn bed. I don't understand the benefit of having a daylight hour in the evening as opposed to in the morning.
It says here it cuts energy consumption.
But that doesn't make any sense. What is
it? It makes sense to Congress.
In what way does daylight savings time cut energy consumption? That doesn't make any sense at all. Especially because all these things only affect you if you have a job anyway. You know what I mean?
Wait a minute. Congress does have the right to revert to the forward daylight saving schedule if this new method is unpopular and doesn't prove to save energy.
I don't understand.
They're going to study its effectiveness.
The whole thing just is perplexing me.
After they paint the walls and remove the mold at Walter Reed.
after they pull rats off of soldiers. After they clean out the lice. All right. Well, I'm not going to get bogged down into the whole thing. I'm simply going to say this, that this seems like faulty computer design. Because, here's an example of this. This is like the hideous Y2K thing all over again. I got an email today, because I have a Motorola Q. It's like a BlackBerry. I got an email today telling me how to download a software patch for my Motorola Q so that it adjusts to the new daylight savings. Why can't I just go set the goddamn clock? It just doesn't make any sense. And it was like literally, it was from CBS Technical, from CBS IT. And it was like, here's a 15-step thing to install a patch on your Motorola Q to handle the new daylight savings. I said, why can't I just adjust the time? March 11th comes around, bam, move an hour forward, problem solved. It just doesn't make any sense. It makes no sense at all.
You and Andy Rooney. probably having a hard time with it, too.
Thank you. All right. Well, now I'm out of time. Now I don't know, speaking of time.
Well, you got to get an extra hour very soon.
Stop enough. Let me just say this, though. Working in radio, spring was always great because you got paid an hour more than you had to work. Because you would get paid for a six-hour shift, but it was only 5 hours. Because at 2 o'clock, it would become, whatever, 3 o'clock or however the hell that works. And so you would skip over it, but you could still screw the company for an hour. All right. Well, I'm looking down at these phones. I don't even want to answer these. Ryan, hello.
Hey, Rick.
Hi.
The only two states that don't change are Arizona and Hawaii.
Arizona and Hawaii. Well, Indiana's half and half, though.
It might be. I don't know. I used to have a call center job where everything was time-based. Hawaii was weird because, you know, it'd be 2 hours for half a year, and then it was 3 hours.
When I was syndicated, I was on in Arizona, I think. And it was weird because sometimes, like, my show would be live there, and sometimes it wouldn't, and sometimes it'd be on there for 4 hours, and sometimes it was three. It was all very confusing. All right.
Well, what's funny about Arizona is that because it sits right on the border between the time zones, it goes from Pacific to Mountain when they do the change.
The whole thing is just a mystery. All right.
Yeah, and the energy saving thing is because you don't turn your lights until an hour later.
Turning them on an hour earlier in the morning because it's dark.
Yeah, it's retarded.
Okay, thank you. All right, there you go. Fantastic. Yeah, now the more I think about it, the more it just makes me angry. Daylight savings time makes me furious. The more I think about it, the more it's just nonsense. All right, well, okay. I don't have time to talk about anything else here. We're out of time. Here's what's coming up. Later on, we'll talk to Lisa Goddard. I saw two great movies this weekend, actually. I have no time to talk about them now, but we'll talk about them after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970, Solid State Radio.
I'm sorry for making fun of your whistling.
No, I'm glad you pointed this out. Look, sir, it's all about communication in any relationship. If you don't communicate... I'm not touching the phones. They're just picking themselves up and turning themselves off by themselves. That wasn't me. My hands were here the entire time, officer. The phones are just...
They are going crazy.
Lines 5 and 6 are just picking up and dropping over and over again repeatedly. Well,
is it Scotty or is it the phone?
I've been right here the whole time. So I've been right in front of you. I don't know the answer to that. Scotty, what seems to be going on?
I don't think Scott. That would be Scotty.
And there's no one typing back to me. Well, fantastic. All right. Hey, Jeff. Hey, what's up with the phones?
Hung up on a CNN correspondent.
Yeah, it's okay. Just hung up on Lisa Goddard. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about the way that I'm going to look to her. It's okay. I'm not worried about that.
Oh, yeah, you had a big story planned.
I was all ready to impress her with my knowledge of the death of Joseph Stalin. Yeah, okay, uh-huh. All right. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like it. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. All right, so coming up later on, and by the way, here's what was just happening, is that I came into the studio and I was distracted. I came in. Sarah has parked her bicycle in the studio. And by the way, that's the other reason
I
can't bicycle.
I just leave it right near you just to rub it in your face
a little. The other reason I can't bicycle even if I wanted to is where I've got nowhere to put mine. I have nowhere to put my... And we can't just be storing all of our bicycles in here because then we... Then it's like... Because you know what it is? Having this bicycle in here, God love you, and I'm glad that you exercise, and it's good. It really is like... It is like having the car on the lawn. It's like an Impala.
It is. I don't understand why you think it looks so trashy. We have, like, moldy coffee cups and posts, you know, movie posters hanging on the walls and stuff. What about this screaming class?
I do my best to get rid of those things. I do my best to come through here. I come through here on the weekends, and I do my best to clean this place and to get rid of the various... Should we be answering this?
No.
Oh, God.
I know, you're doing a good job of keeping it together.
I'm doing my very best to keep it together. The show is just... haven't we been in the studio? I don't mean to complain.
Then don't. Just let them fix it and then you can complain.
I'm just saying. With the most gritted of teeth.
Anyway. It's not their fault.
Well, that's not true. It's somebody's fault, and I'll find out who it is. Anyway, so the only point I'm going to make is that we have, I come through here on the weekend because I'm an anal retentive freak, and I try to throw away all of the, you know, the detritus that is gathered in here during the week. But the thing about you bringing in your bicycle is that, like, one bicycle in the studio is fine, I guess. But more than that, and it just becomes trashy.
I guess.
It just.
There's no place else for me to put
there's
it.
There's a bike rack out back, and I know you can't put it there because the thieves will descend on it. Isn't there, like, an empty office? It's a radio station. There's got to be an empty room somewhere. There's got to be a room where somebody used to work.
I can't help it that my bike reminds you of your bloating.
It has. And it does, by the way. And that's the thing is, I can't even bicycle like I can bicycle today. I got a client meeting I have to go to at like 4:30. Couldn't have bicycled today if my life depended on it. And so, anyway, although I did buy, this weekend I did go to whatever, the Columbia store, and I bought rain gear.
That's wishful thinking.
Seriously. Well, no.
You should just let me borrow that.
And it's the best thing about it is, it's like I already have the rain jacket, like the waterproof rain jacket, and I'm all... Like, I'm standing there, and I'm looking at that. I'm at the Columbia Outlet Store, and I'm looking at the rain gear because I have the rain jacket, but I don't have the thing that goes over my pants. And so it's just the worst thing ever. Like, if you're bicycling in the rain, and then, like, you get to work, and then you take off your shorts, and you put on, like, whatever I'm going to wear for the day. And then at the end of the day, I've got to put on, like, the soggy clothes. Like, I don't mind bicycling to work in the rain. It's the bicycling home when you got to put on, like, the wet, spongy clothing that's been sitting at room temperature, like, fermenting all day long. You just, like, feel the mildew growing inside your underwear as you're putting it back on or whatever. And so I go to the Columbia store this weekend, and I buy the rain gear. But, of course, because I'm just such a stingy miser, I'm just such a penny-pinching bastard that I won't pay the full price. I have to go for the stuff that's been discounted. And so it's, like, the wrong size. So I got these massive pants that are, like, three. And it's not that I'm not a big fat ass, because I am. But I bought these rain pants that are, like, three sizes too big. So the next time you
put enormous rain pants, they'll be catching the wind.
Totally. Out behind me like a parachute. So the next time you see me, it's going to look like I'm going to go, like I have hip waders on to go trout fishing or something.
I don't understand, because that's been your excuse. So it's March now. Yes. And your excuse for that through the entire winter was that it was too wet to go raining.
And I just now bought biking, rain gear.
And now you're buying rain gear for no apparent reason.
And
you're still not riding your bike.
No, and you know that by dint of buying rain gear, by the way, I made sure that it's never going to rain again.
Good.
I paid money for it. Now it's never going to rain. All I'm saying is, if I bring my bike in, then there's going to be two bikes in the studio. And that just seems... It just seems a little low rent. That's all I'm saying. Is it to be here in the studio with a bike's leaning against a wall?
All I'm saying, just one sentence, I've seen where you live.
Yeah, should I be answering any of these phones that are ringing?
Are any of these Lisa?
This is? All right, thanks for that. All right,
thanks,
anyway.
Jeff.
It's 503-733-2970. Well, we haven't even talked about the Belmont thing. We'll talk about that. The shooting on Belmont that happened this weekend. Oh, and then I meant to talk about the movie. All right, well, I got nothing. All right, the phone's working again.
Yes, I believe this is Lisa.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, from the Hill, CNN radio correspondent to the stars, Lisa Goddard. Hello. Lisa Goddard. Hey, can you hear me?
Hello.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I think I'm doing better than maybe you guys are doing.
I think whatever virus it was that was infecting your phone system or your computer system last week has spread to CBS radio.
Oh, that's a bummer. Because that was killing us last week.
Yeah, it's been one of those days for the last 10 or 12 minutes or so far. Hey, let me ask you this real quickly. I know that you don't have a lot of time today. Scotty has typed on the screen that you are, quote, slammed for time.
I know many of your listeners wait much longer to talk to you, so I can't complain about the... 15 minutes.
Okay, you always go right to the front of the line with us, except when we're having these phone and the engineering problems. What is the purpose of daylight savings time? And don't lie to me.
Well, the idea really is supposed to, it was originally supposed to help the farmers, but now the fact that they're moving it up is to help basically the entire economy and get business starting early.
Okay, but that doesn't make any sense. Do you see how that doesn't make any sense? This office opens at the same time every day, 300 and whatever, 10 days a year, regardless of when the sun comes up.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't Stonehenge. CBS radio doesn't open when the great fiery sun god ascends in the sky, and we don't gather around a stone pyramid every day. I don't understand the purpose, now that we are no longer an agricultural-based society, of daylight savings time. It just seems to be a thing that's there to irritate us.
Well, doesn't it at least have something to do now with the rest of the world and being in the business cycle that goes around the global business cycle?
If that was the case, though, then why would it change? In other words, why would it fluctuate twice a year?
But, see, the point is, though, that, see, I think there's two things. I think there's also an energy saving that we're supposed to see from this, but I think we just get it. I'm not sure we get it the one time or every time. But because we use less energy if we're up and moving around during daylight hours, and if daylight is starting earlier and earlier in the day, say we didn't have daylight savings, daylight would be starting, I don't know, earlier 6 a.m. in the morning, or I guess 7 a.m. in the morning. If you change that, spring forward, or 6 a.m. in the morning, you spring that forward, that daylight happens more during the business day, so that you're not using as much power, first of all, while you're at work or while you're up and doing things.
All right.
So that's one thing, is it supposedly saves energy, but I think it's supposed to, it does have some kind of global business effect as well to sync us in with the world.
Is anybody, are there any other countries?
Out of my butt.
Are there any other countries that observe daylight savings time?
Yes, I believe there are.
All right, and finally, so then my last question on this, before we actually get to the issue at hand, and then I'll let you go from our foolishness, is then what would be the energy savings from falling back when autumn comes? Is it? It doesn't seem like there would be any energy savings. Well, this whole thing is mystifying to me.
It's not just the clock time that matters. It's the changes in the sun, and I think you've got to move it back in order to keep the calendar correct. Right?
You're on thin ice.
Clock,
I can sense you're making things up now.
I know. But I think that's right mathematically, that if you move the clock at one point up an hour, you need to, in that same year, move it back in order to keep the calendar.
I guess.
Otherwise, you're just adding or subtracting an hour to human history.
Did you know that Baja California is in Mexico?
I didn't know that.
It's true.
Did not know that.
All right.
Here's your other fun fact is apparently, as I now am frantically looking around the internet to try and get some real expertise on this matter, that apparently Benjamin Franklin thought up daylight savings.
Well, he was clearly a bright man. I'm just saying that perhaps he didn't fully think this. I'm just saying that now that we are an industrial and or technological-based society, it does seem like an outmoded concept, as the residents of Arizona and part of Indiana would agree. Because they don't sell it, because they don't do this. So.
And I believe that's right, part of Indiana. That's exactly right.
All right.
But does that make sense, though? We can't just have daylight savings time at one point in the year, you know, move the clock up in the spring and not move it back in the fall, because otherwise you're just taking an hour out of human history.
I guess. I just got this.
Gotta balance it out.
I just got this thing from Microsoft, though, telling me that, like, because I run Windows 98 or something, that, like, I got to burn my computer and then I got to use an abacus for the next year or something. It's like, why can't I just go change the freaking date? It just, the whole thing just infuriates me. It makes me feel both enraged and impotent. So let's just move off of that.
Okay.
Hey, I am going to say, by the way, happy 54th anniversary of Joseph Stalin's death.
Oh, wow. What do you know?
That was on this day in 1953. And I don't know if this is true or not. I choose to believe it's true, even if it's not, because it's more interesting, that he was actually dead for somewhere between 5 and 7 days. And they didn't discover it because all of the guys who worked for Stalin were so afraid of him that they didn't want to open the door.
Oh.
And he was laying in there decomposing, and it was a whole lot of, like, Comrade Stalin? Hello? Are you feeling well? And they just didn't even want to open the door. So, all right, real quickly, because, again, I know you're crushed here.
But didn't you know Stalin had webbed toes?
Is that true?
Yes, and one of his arms was kind of shriveled.
I got to tell you, and this is a thing that can be misconstrued. Like the other day when I said I loved serial killing. I love Joseph Stalin. I really do, just as a sociological and political construct. And he really is very Nietzschean and very sort of existential in the way that he just created his own identity.
True.
I believe Stalin... His name actually means steel man or man of steel or something like that.
That's right, exactly.
And he was just a guy who just looked in the mirror one day and went, well, it's time to become somebody. And just created his own persona out of whole cloth. And then killed like 20 million people. And I mean, that is certainly ambitious, regardless of whatever else we might choose to call it.
Right. And he also used that, though, to gloss over the fact. I don't think he was the brightest book on the shelf.
Really?
No. But I think the fact that he was the strong man. I think he was the first to start. You know, if you want to take over, just rough people up and fear. He was the first kind of, he really that fear dictatorship. Up until then, if you wanted to rule by fear, you kind of had to be the son of a king.
There's some fantastic footage you can see, and you probably have already seen this stuff, where there's these Soviet propaganda films that came out under Stalin's rule that showed that, like, you know, he created movable type, and, you know, that he, he created the earth in 7 days and whatever. And so there's all these hilarious propaganda films showing Stalin as having created everything. And what's even better is then after Stalin was dead, after his rule was over, they did this, like, Austin Powers thing on all of the old propaganda films, where every time Stalin would come into frame, there would literally be like a potted plant that they would put in front of him, so you didn't see him anymore. They're fantastic. You can ever see any of the Stalin propaganda films that were then edited after his death, they're hilarious.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, you know, when I was in Russia, I had one of my teachers showed me her book that was filled with this propaganda that, you know, Stalin and the guys that he helped invented television, they invented everything. We're reading through it, and we said, oh, look at this. It says that Stalin, that the Soviet Union gave, or it wasn't Stalin, but that the Soviet, that Russia actually gave the United States the Statue of Liberty. And we started laughing, and our teacher looks at us, this is in the 90s, she looks at us and she says, no, that one's true.
That's fantastic. All right. I'll give you like one question on this, and I know you got to bail on this for today, but why did it take so long for them to figure out that the Walter Reed Medical Center was filled with rats? I mean, why... I know that I keep coming back to this central point, but I mean,
right.
It doesn't seem like this is the sort of thing that should have been allowed to go on for this long. And are they really taking steps to remedy this, or are they just trying to get us to quit thinking about it?
I'll tell you, there is a vague Three Stooges effect going on right now with anyone who talks about Walter Reed that's in any sort of position of responsibility, except for the guy who got fired, and he's the one who is saying, yes, I was responsible. Now, he was in the job for 6 months, though, and clearly if you've got moldy walls, if you've got rat droppings, those things don't really happen necessarily over 6 months. So there's a lot of people pointing the finger. And in fact, this was the Army Chief of Staff just a few minutes ago. Let me see if I can find this. I cut this piece of tape. General Peter Schoomaker being asked by one of the congressmen exactly what happened. So listen to this to answer your question.
If these situations have been occurring since 2004, 2005, 2006, why weren't they resolved and why weren't they addressed?
That's a great question.
And that was just...
fantastic.
Isn't that great?
Just spin away.
I think part of the key here is that Building 18 that had the rat drops and that had the leaky ceilings, that really is just one small part of the problem. Most of Walter Reed, the facilities are actually very good. But the larger problem is that these vets, many of them, and not just the ones that were in Building 18, but many vets probably around the country, were just languishing. They couldn't get appointments. And those who had brain injuries, the military was saying, no, actually, you've been disabled since childhood. That's why it's not that IED that exploded in front of your head.
Right.
It's the fact that you've been learning disabled since you were in first grade. So we're not going to sign off that you have a brain disability, when clearly these people do. So it's been an incredible lack of care, an incredible amount of CYA on the part of the military that just doesn't have the infrastructure or staff to handle these guys. And so they're forced to live in these terrible places, but more often forced to be stuck in a position where they can't really get the care that they need. And that's even the bigger problem. Everyone is essentially pointing fingers right now.
All right. Well, it's all part of being all you can be, I suppose. All right. All right. Lisa Goddard, we'll try to end this on such a down note. I'll try to have more wacky Stalin-esque anecdotes for you tomorrow.
All right. I'll find more about daylight. So I admit, I'm not an expert on daylight. I know energy is one reason.
The whole thing infuriates me. All right. Enjoy the rest of your day, Lisa.
Okay, you do.
There you go. Lisa Goddard, ladies and gentlemen, on the Hill. Fantastic.
Very impressive.
Listen to how well that worked.
No, she had more information than you did.
Yeah, but the stuff I knew, she didn't already know. That's what I would, at least she pretended not to. To spare my male ego.
There you go.
To spare my fragile male psyche. She pretended that she was impressed. Yes, Rick, that's really, yes, these pedantic facts that anybody can learn by watching the History Channel are really impressive to me. Thank you. All right. It's 503-7, not that I'm this neurotic. It's 503-733-2970. And so forth. All right. Okay, I got this email and things to get to. Well, let me read a couple of these. Then we'll talk about some other stuff. Let's see. And then we'll break. We'll come back with the Ministry of Truth and blah, blah, blah. Rick, I took a day trip to the beach yesterday with some friends, and before we left, we stopped at the Garden Home Thriftway to get some refreshments. To my shock and wonder, there were blue bottles calling to me for one of the drink cases. It was Vizo. They didn't have all the flavors, but I bought a couple of wheels for the drive, just doing my part to help spread the word. That's from Kristen. Excellent. Kristen, who I saw, who was at Sabala's last night. Did you go? Did you end up going? Or were you going to be drunkenly wobbling around in high heels somewhere?
I wanted to. I really did. But No, I really did.
And then?
And then the vodka soda got me.
Okay.
Oh, but because Kyle and I watched, you know, we went and saw the Mountain Goats and then we went to Taco Bell.
Who is Kyle?
You've met him. He's one of my buddies. We've been friends for a few years.
All right.
Yeah. So we went to Taco Bell.
Okay.
And yeah, all the while singing the Mountain Goats.
And what is your, and is this like an alcohol, like so I need to soak up the alcohol with something?
No, it just sounded really good. It's like I could go out and make a drunken ass of myself, or I could just eat Taco Bell and go home and go to bed and watch About a Boy.
Fantastic. Rick, yes, Congress makes the changes to daylight savings time. If you have Windows XP Service Pack 2 or Vista, no one has Vista. Who has purchased Vista? No one. You probably have the fix on your system already. If you have Windows 98, which I do, you are SOL. Great, thanks. You'll need to go. But see, listen to this. You are SOL. And then this is what it is. You'll have to go to the clock settings and make the changes manually. Which is just clicking on the stupid clock in the corner and typing in like 5 or what 4, you know, instead of 3, whatever it is, changing it by an hour, right? Daylight savings time happens at 2. We spring forward at 2 o'clock, it becomes 3. So I just click on the clock, and where it says 2, I type in 3. Problem solved. Yeah, this whole thing is a mystery. I don't understand why it's such a big problem. Let's see. What else do we have here? Rick. Mm-hmm. And daylight savings time, daylight savings time, daylight savings time. All right, well, I'm going to quit. I'm going to quit thinking about that. I'm going to quit thinking about daylight savings time. We're going to break here in a second. We'll come back with the news. I'm simply going to say this. That I weep. Do we have any Wild Hogs news today? Or whatever, Road Hogs, whatever that movie is?
No.
Please. Okay, that's fine. I mean, it's fine if we
don't.
The one
thing I didn't see it.
Well, no, because everybody else did. You could, of course. It was the number one goddamn movie.
I went to see a Thinking Man's movie.
You and me both, my friend. We saw the same Thinking Man's movie. Tim, you saw Breach over the weekend.
I did. It was spectacular.
How great is Breach? I saw Breach on Saturday. Breach with Chris Cooper and Ryan, for once and for all. Felipe. Reese Witherspoon says it's Philippi, though.
She's mad at him, though.
She hates him, so she's mispronouncing it. Well, now,
That's funny.
It wasn't the girl on Breach that he was cheating on her with,
yes.
Was it? Really?
Mm-hmm.
You could tell
girl?
There was something more going on there.
No, there's no blonde girl.
No, she was a brunette girl.
Oh, was she?
Oh, maybe she was brunette.
She's a looker. She's not bad.
But as pretty as Reese Witherspoon was in Walk the Line.
She's not America's sweetheart like Reese Witherspoon is. And I know. I'm saying I wouldn't have dogged Reese Witherspoon for her. But I'm just saying that she is an attractive lady. She's a foreigner. She's a godless foreigner.
She's a foreigner.
She's a German.
I don't think you can say that.
She is. It's true.
She's a foreigner.
It is. It's a factual statement. She's a foreigner. I don't know the godless part.
That's what Jackson said, a foreigner, too.
Really?
Yeah.
American women just aren't good enough.
I guess not.
She's not. I wouldn't have done Reese Witherspoon for her. But Ryan Felipe, who I've never really been impressed by, but it's like have you noticed this too? As time goes on, his whole thing about being taken seriously is just to dye his hair dark. That's his whole thing. Blonde can't take him seriously. Ryan Felipe.
It's sort of like the Mark Paul Gosselaar thing.
Yeah.
How he was blonde, and then all of a sudden he did Ben on Campus, and he had his comeback, and he was completely dark brunette.
Exactly, like it because Ryan Phillippe knows we're trying to get the Cruel Intentions out of our head still, so he's got dark hair.
That girl's from Quebec.
You know, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, still a
foreigner.
Her name
is Caroline de Havernes.
Probably French. Well, that sounds French. And you know,
born 1978.
The weird thing about Ryan Phillippe in Breach. Now I'm alternating back and forth pronunciations. The weird thing about him is how much he looks like Henry Rollins. And it's a thing you don't really realize. But if you see Breach, look at him, and every time Ryan Phillippe is on the screen, think Henry Rollins. And he looks exactly like a young Henry Rollins. Like, if you could take Rollins as he is now, all beefed up and whatever, and and youthify him, you know, with some sort of magic beam and make him like 25, that's who this guy looks like. It's freaky. Chris Cooper, though, who was the toothless guy in Adaptation, he was the next-door Nazi in American Beauty, he's fantastic in Breach. And, of course, Laura Linney, who will marry me someday. He is just gorgeous and wonderful. But it's a great movie, man. And it's so stressful. And it's depressing. You want to kill yourself at the end, but it's great. It's a perfect Rick Emerson movie. It's just totally depressing. At the end, everybody is unhappy. Somebody goes to jail. You know, everything ends badly. And then speaking of everything ending badly, That hideous Roadhogs or Wild Hogs movie, whatever it is, debuted at like number one with like $50 jillion.
Well, the public has no taste.
No, because the public are idiots. And we were, Laura and I were behind like a row of about 50 people. Like, I need two for that Wild Hogs movie. As we were in line to see Zodiac, which is a goddamn masterpiece.
Awesome. All right, I'm going to go see it today.
It's so good. It's so good.
Now, is that a movie I should see with somebody else, or is it a good one to, like, be okay to see it alone?
It's not. I mean,
I'm a big fan of the going to the movies alone.
Well, and so am I. I love going to a movie by myself. It's not. I mean, I don't know. What do you mean? Do you mean like you're going to scare me?
Something I'm going to be want to know that I'm going to want to discuss with somebody else.
Maybe I think so. I think so because it's and it's again. I'm giving nothing away to say that it's an unsolved case. They never solve it. So there's it's worth discussing that way. It's a little freaky. It's not a horror film by any means. It's a thriller. It's a very much a procedural movie about the. It's not really about the murders. The murders all take place in like the first 45 minutes and they're done. The rest of the movie is about the search and the hunt and it's about the personalities of the men who are hunting for Zodiac and how the case affects them and their.
And it has two of the most beautiful men in it. Oh,
Jake Gyllenhaal and who?
And Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, yeah, he's good, although not so pretty in this movie. Well, he starts out pretty. And it's Mark Ruffalo? Ruffalo? Who's that guy?
Ruffalo.
Mark Ruffalo? He's great. He's really great. But Zodiac, I will say this. Zodiac, it has a couple sequences in it, and it's not a gory movie. There's almost no blood at all. I think there might actually be like no blood to speak of. There's like a couple like gunshots and stuff, but there's nothing. But it's not a slasher film in any way. There's a couple sequences though that are just so disturbing that just like you just close your eyes and you can just see them. They're just so creepy. And so I'm going to see it again, hands down. I'm going to see it again. It's brilliant. And I will say this about Zodiac: Zodiac captures the look of the 70s better than any movie I have ever seen in my life. If somebody told me, hey, this movie was filmed in 1975. If I didn't know the guys in it, they said, hey, here's this movie from 1975. You would believe it. Absolutely. The film stock, the coloring, the color tone, it looks like a movie from 1975. I mean, it looks like all the President's Men. Go see it. Go see it. It's genius. That and Breach, both. All right. When we come back, we got some phone calls, and then we got the Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970, Solid State Radio. Back after this.